Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time. Even at the time of creation as well as at the time of annihilation, your remembrance will continue by my mercy. Okay. Devotional service rendered to the personality of Godhead never goes in vain. Since the personality of Godhead is eternal, intelligence applied in his service, or anything done in his relation is also permanent. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that such transcendental service rendered under the personality of Godhead accumulates birth after birth. And when the devotee is fully mature, the total service counted together makes him eligible to enter into the association of the personality of Godhead. Such accumulation of God's service is never vanquished. It increases the fully mature. So this verse is very encouraging and a little bit discouraging to think that we might still be around at the time of annihilation. And that's a long time. But I guess if you're remembering Krishna, it's all right. And Narada is an eternal spaceman, so he can be anywhere at any time. And we'll always be fixed. So the devotee does, he desires simply to be able to remember Krishna. But it's a lot of work. And we are working hard at it. We're hearing and chanting every day, trying to fill ourselves with the remembrances of the Lord. So that the final test, we can remember him. I remember in college, I'm sure a lot of you can't remember how much you had to study for this test, especially if you had a lot of names, numbers. For me, it was very, very difficult to memorize all these things and have to answer it all on a test. You had to really cram it in and study. So it does take some effort, even on our part spiritually, to get ready for these tests by being able to remember Krishna, by some study and some endeavor and some work on his head. In this lifetime, we should try to escalate our hearing chanting. It's such an easy way to remember, so we should do our best to take advantage of the easy processes and go for it in this lifetime. Most devotees, we've heard from many devotees, that when they're given a benediction by Krishna, they ask, well, what would you like? And they usually say, I just want to be able to remember. There's a story of King River. He made a very insignificant mistake. It's always hard for me to swallow that. He just made a little teeny mistake of giving a cow to two people at the same time. And he didn't get any, mercy. No one would give in on it. And he didn't even say sorry. He didn't, hundreds of thousands to replace it. He was cursed as a lizard. And then he was liberated by Krishna and got back his original form, and he began to say prayers, beautiful prayers, glorification of Krishna. And Krishna's very pleased. He accepted those prayers, and he said, what would you like? And he said, being with you. I just want to be able to remember you no matter what form I'm in, or even what planet I'm on, just so I can remember you. So we should practice our prayers, petitions, so that he's very pleased with our prayers and devotional service, and he will benefit us also with that ability to remember him. In this age of college, it's very difficult. I was talking to a student yesterday in Bali, in class, and I said, you know, it's really hard to remember God in this age. There's so many distractions. He goes, oh, there's so many distractions. And so it's agreed upon that it's not easy. But in Kali Yuga, we have one good thing, is that your bad thoughts, they don't go against you. But the good thoughts come. And here, it's specifically mentioning that even our thoughts, even if our intelligence and mind is engaged in service, even though not physically, all those count. So it's very encouraging in that way that we can engage this busy mind. This mind is considered like a little busy bee. We used to have bees on the back of the property. Unfortunately, they got a disease. Who knows why? Last year, we lost our bees. Really miss them because they're always busy. When you're picking the blueberries, you hear them. They're really loud. And they're always going in and out and everything. It's really exciting to have bees on the property. Hopefully, someone will bring some more and we can have them again. But this is a nice little prayer about this busy bee mind and what we should do with it. By Rupa Goswami. It's called Krishna Deva Bhagavatam Vandai. And the main verse says, O Lord Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you. Please fix my bee-like mind in the nectar of your lotus feet. One of the verses says, O Sanatana, your lotus feet surpass even the nectar of the gods, finding in this lotus flower of your feet the essence of sweetness which is endowed with truly wonderful melons. I pray that today the bee of my mind may truly reside there. So we should, if we can't even physically serve in some way, we can at least intellectually keep our mind busy and in service. And of course, the greatest success story of this is Srila Prabhupada. I think there's one volume of the Remembrance of the Prabhupada. It's called Years in Preparation. So for many years, he wasn't able to come. I don't know how many years, but about 20 years, he wasn't able to come into the West, the building of the forest of the spiritual master. But he was meditating. He was using his intelligence, writing books, planning how he was going to save the entire world. That's the best use of the intelligence. And he was making all these different arrangements just in his mind. And he revealed that to some innocent stranger on a park bench in New York, when he got there, and he asked me, what are you doing here, sir? Kind of funny looking guy here, all along with the point of rubber shoes and everything. But what's your plan? And he goes, I have temples all over. I have farms. I have this. I have that. So Krishna was so pleased with his intelligence being engaged in this way that he accepted that service. And he said, so be it. How do you say that in Hindi? So be it. From the language? And he said, so be it. And now it has, by the grace of Krishna, it is being done. And we have our little backyard plans, right? I'm going to make a little garden. I'm going to write a book for Krishna. Or I'm going to start a temple for Krishna. Or I'm going to do this for Krishna. But to save the world, Prabhupada's intelligence was exploding with the plans to do that. So we should do our insignificant little part to help him, just like a little ant we can push with our back legs or front legs, whatever ones we use, to push a little dust into this whirlwind of the Sankirtan movement. And Krishna will remember even that little teeny bit of dust that we pushed, which is so kind of him. I remember I think I was 20 years old. I was in the L.A. temple, And I got this idea that I'd paint the kitchen. It was a big kitchen. And so I did the whole thing myself. It was a big job. I said, you know, in a few years, I probably won't be here. No one will remember I did this. No one in the future years, no one will know who I am in this temple. It's true. But I went there, they don't know who the heck I was, but I came to that kitchen. But somehow, Krishna has jotted it down somewhere in that little notebook. So, but we are just satisfied, just doing the service. Not that we write it down, not that it gets remembered, but just the satisfaction that I'm finally getting to pay back Krishna a little bit of what I owe him. And that is the soul satisfaction that we really need to be happy in this lifetime and in the next. So I have a little topic that maybe we can discuss after class. You can think about it. Because I was reading this report and I had an incident after Mission of the Thursday. Someone came up to me and said, you know, my family members did so much service, so many hours of service to just get this prasadam type of guy. I'm really doing a lot of service. And I feel like buying them a present to reward them for giving that service. And he said, well, you can't. And I said, well, that's okay, but that's not what we're not looking for the reward. And I don't know if that's what we really want to make as an established thing that every time we do service, you get a reward. And I don't know, maybe I'll be good saying that. But I know that sometimes when you go to Native people's homes and they give you something and you say thank you, they say, oh no, don't say thank you. Because that takes away all the punya for doing it. And so it's, so that attitude of actually of doing service and getting a reward, does it take away from those little notes that Krishna's doing in remembrance? And I know many temples. They're all run only by employed devotees. Everyone gets paid. Some temples cannot exist without paying everything. And I remember one time Prabhupada was saying that he really didn't want the pujaris to be paid because it was that devotion and bhakti should be able to display and not have to think about being paid. So these are some topics that someone would like to comment later. Of how it's all calculated, are things subtracted, or if I get rewarded, is it paid, does it hasten that maturing process that's described here? Does it hasten or slow down that process of actually unconditional, fully surrendered, volunteer service? Yeah. But purport, the main thing is it's stressing that we have a spiritual bank account and that we deposit as much as possible in this lifetime. And that helps us to mature. Immediately remind me of in New York when Lord Thatcher and Russell Gill and other devotees would go out on Wall Street in front of the stock market and do instant street play. And they would do this one play called The Wrong Bank Account. Wonderful play. I've lectured on it in different places in the world. Because it's such a nice description of someone coming in, a young person coming in, making a bank account, and you see him develop, and he's putting more and more deposits and everything, and he's getting older, and he says, man, I'm going to enjoy it. You have three jobs, and the kids have left me now, but I'm going to enjoy just, I just got a raise, and then ends up that he goes to his friend, who also is doing the same thing. He dies untimely, and he never gets to enjoy the vacation that they were just about to take. And so he's so shocked at it that he has a heart attack and dies. And he never gets, of course, to enjoy those deposits. So all the people on Wall Street and trying to figure out what to do with the stock market, they're a winner if they have wealth, if they can accumulate more and more. This is Is it worth it? I'm sure they're worrying all the time. I'm sure they're really worrying right now about what's going on in the stock market and what's in the future. And that causes, of course, disease and misery. So best that we don't deposit with this myopia. There's a talk about what do you call it, conspiracy theories and things like that. She is the originator of the original conspiracy theory. Come here, enjoy this. This is the one place. Everything's nice. Everything. Give it all to me and complete ripoff. She did everything we can, and everyone falls for it. But she's conniving. She's a conniving person. What's her job? Bad service. But she is expert. So we can't get fooled by this. We have to deposit all of our energy this lifetime. All of our intelligence, all of our thinking and our senses in our bhakti account. And this is where it all should go because it is eternal, as it says a couple times in this report. But the trouble is we have, in our blood, we have a gambling mood that we just can't get rid of so easily. We gambled a long time ago in the spiritual world. We said, oh, I bet you I can enjoy that fish. I bet you I can get a little bit of this enjoyment myself. No problem. I'll take my gamble. Let me go try it. And Krishna says, all right, these crazy gambling. Go ahead. Here, go to Las Vegas. Go to this material world. Gamble all you want. Try all you want. Roll your dice whatever way you can, whatever body you can get. But we're losers. And we find it more and more that we're losing everything. And, but we have this in our blood that we still want to gamble. The atheists, they're gamblers. They're gambling that there is no life after death. They're gambling that there is no judgment day. There is no karma. So I'm just going to enjoy it. That's a big gamble. And I see everyone dying, everyone suffering. Anyway, they gamble and they're the loser, big time. Because there is karma, there is a law, whether they believe it or not. And Krishna holds firm on that law. And then the agnostics, they also gamble. They're a little scared to gamble, but they gamble, I guess, kind of low-risk gamble, like you take out mutual funds, so that's risk, right, in the stock market. They're very careful of what they do. They're giving charity. They're kind of goody-goody type people, and they don't want to go too far one way, whether it be in karma or whatever. Maybe karma is there. I see that, you know, sometimes you get a bad result, but they're not willing to believe that there really is a God that gives them a total judgment. But they fear. They're in great fear all the time because they don't. They're so fearful because they don't have knowledge. They don't have knowledge of the absolute. They don't have that faith. So that lack of faith means fear, especially the kind of death. Okay, now what? No, this is not so that's the agnostics. They also gamble in a lower way. But the devotees, we gamble. We gamble that there is Krishna, but we have an educated gamble. We have knowledge that there is karma. We see it happen. I kick a friend, you know, I kick somebody and are being nasty to them. I get it back, if now, if not later. Because we have the knowledge of how these laws work and who the supreme judger is and who the supreme controller is. We gamble that he's there, but it's an educated gamble. We have so many past successful acharyas and yogis and great spiritual masters that have achieved this fearless condition of knowing that there is a Supreme Lord and that I should do my best in this lifetime to fully surrender everything
empty my pockets and put it all in the deposit of bhakti. So it's very clear to us. In the present is bright and the future is bright because we are gambling with the gambling of cheats of Krishna. We're with him. So right now there is a great fear going on about the economic situation, rightfully so. Should I continue my business? Should I take my money out of the stock market? Should I buy gold? Should I invest in real estate? So all these things are flowing through everyone's mind. Unemployment's how many billions of people. And so their whole intelligence is absorbed in that, in thinking about how I'm going to invest and get more pleasure out of life in this situation. There's, as I noticed on the news, one person, some rich man was thinking, let this lockdown be finished. Even if I get the disease, I don't care, because I don't want my son to have an economic situation where he's not going to get what he needs and enjoys. Ignorance. This is what Bhagavad Gita says, is different charity and austerity and the modes. This is ignorance. Doesn't matter about anybody else, but somehow or other, you know, we've got to make sure everyone's going to be okay and get what they need. Keep the economics rolling, right? But hopefully the devotees are not thinking that way. They're thinking of more that, wow, I really need to get my life together spiritually. I need to put more investments in towards serving Krishna. Even if I can't come here and serve, at least I can really meditate on Krishna and all the things I'm going to do when I come back to the temple or when it opens up. So this is a realization that devotees have. They see that, as Govinda Das says, that life is tottering like a little water on the lotus petal. So we don't want to be eternally in lockdown in this material world. Can you imagine eternally here in this material world, all the way to the dissolution, annihilation? No thanks. Of course, if we can remember Krishna, it'll be a lot better. But the devotee is more concerned about becoming mature in devotional service, as it describes here, which is the goal of Krishna consciousness, the real success. But ultimately, it's not solely what we do in service, but it's actually all lies on the spiritual master and the recommendations that he will give. He is our financial advisor. He makes direct deposits into our bhakti account with Krishna. We really don't make any direct deposits. He does it for us. So we were hearing yesterday about from Shesha Pagual about the importance of the spiritual master. How important it is that we put our energy into serving our spiritual master. Because his resume is what will make it or break it. He holds the weight in the decisions of this bank account. So the spiritual master, he doesn't take anything for himself. Just see, like, when Jayananda gave that $5,000, that's a lot of money for someone like that in those times, in the 60s, to give $5,000 to a spiritual master. I don't even know if he was initiated at that time. Probably not. But he gave it to him. Prabhupada didn't use it for himself. He printed books with it. And all along, everyone who gave things to Prabhupada, what did he take with him? Nothing. But see what he left. Because he gave it to Krishna directly, and Krishna allowed it all to happen. So if we want anything to happen in our spiritual life, we have to give to our spiritual master. Krishna recommends it in the Bhagavad Gita. His main instruction is, find a spiritual master, serve him. I was listening to a lecture the other day. It came upon it, and Prabhupada was angry. It was a regular lecture, but he was actually angry in this class. And he was saying, a disciple does not mean just sleeping and doing what you want. He says, we, meaning Krishna and him, we have given so much blood so much energy and sweat for you all. He was actually, I don't know what happened, but he was actually very angry that the disciples were not giving everything and following his instructions, giving everything for him. That so much he'd given to us. So we can't forget that. So we should also see, what haven't I given to my spiritual master? What private savings account do I have put aside for my sense gratification at some point in my life? What plans, what intelligence and desires I still have that I think that I'm hiding from Krishna, that I'm going to somehow or other cash in on later. So we should think about that, because our time might run out very untimely, as we've seen it has happened for billions of people in the last few weeks. And even in this community. Your time is up. And we don't want to lament. We don't want to lament that I held back this and I didn't give it to him. I was going to give that contribution, but I didn't. I went and bought something else. I was going to volunteer. Oh, why didn't I volunteer? Why did I just stay at home? Why didn't I buy this for Krishna's birthday instead of bought something else? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I surrender in this lifetime? We should think that I have to give more. So whether physically or intellectually, it's all about being absorbed in our service. How we can even meditate on service. Pandavishan gave a nice little reminder of that story of the Brahmin and the sweet rice. But I remember reading Salted Bread. I don't know if any of you have read it. If not, you should read it. It's a book about a Russian devotee who was lived here for a while. He was encouraged by Sukadev to write a book. And in that Salted Bread book, this devotee is in one of the KGB lockdown places, and where they physically and mentally tormented you. And it was getting, they knew it was about time for Janmashtami. And so they, whatever devotees were in there, they got together and they sat down and they mentally made a celebration for Janmashtami. They said, now I'm doing this, now I'm cooking this, now I'm offering this, I'm doing this for Krishna. And they actually had a celebration in that place for Janmashtami. And I'm sure Krishna accepted every preparation they made. So this is very powerful. If we can use our intelligence and our hearts in his service, even if we can't physically do something. In our waking or dreaming, that's the idea of Prabhupada wanted us to be completely absorbed, giving everything to Krishna. Actually, economics is one elective I never chose to take in high school or college. I couldn't stand the thought of taking economics, because materially, it's all about cheaters and the cheated. How much I can get for myself. How much I can get. But spiritual economics is a whole different thing. It's how much I can give. How much I can dig down deep in my pockets and give everything this lifetime. So somehow or other, we should try to engage our bee-like mind and be very busy in filling the orders of Srila Prabhupada and the orders of our spiritual master. How we can become more devotionally mature. So a mature person is usually very responsible. That's like a sign of maturity. So we should be very strict and very responsible that we don't allow Maya to enter in all the different ways that she tries. We should be very diligent in our hearing and chanting. And a sign of maturity also is that we come here not because it's my duty. It's a sign that we're actually coming because we want to. Last week, some people came from Mangal Arti. It was so nice to see who came. It's not that they had to come or they felt like someone's going to watch them or they're taking who's going to be here. They just came because they wanted to come see Krishna, and they wanted to sing to him. One of the 64 arts of the spiritual world is to waken the spiritual master at dawn with song. So to come here and waken the Lord with song, it's such a nice thing to do, to actually want. So that's a sign of maturity, that we're not just doing it out of duty anymore, that we're actually doing it because we want. And to be responsible, keep Maya away. And also, a sign of maturity is to be very respectful to everyone, regardless. Know how to, even like is said in scripture, how to receive an enemy with great graciousness. Respectful means that you don't make offenses. So this is also a sign of maturity, that you don't offend anybody, even material people. These are some thoughts I had, we should try to make as many daily deposits as we can, be attentive in our japa, and have a very nice service attitude, and figure out how we can just give that 2 cents more, or 10 cents more, or whatever more to please Krishna. And it's more challenging now because we maybe can't physically do service here, but we should take up that challenge and try to increase. So if anyone has any comments, or anyone has any thoughts or things to say about what I originally mentioned about the if there's any hastening in our maturity by doing service with in different ways that maybe don't seem the haituki, completely surrendered thing. So if anybody has anything they'd like to say, corrections?
I heard once when I was a new devotee that Krishna not only sees what you give but what you hold back. How can we get clear within ourselves on what we are holding back?
Well, the more you chant Hare Krishna, the more purified you get. Like Prabhupada says, when you start cleaning the room, all the dust starts flying. So the more you chant, then those real dirty things, the way things way down deep in our heart that we are hiding, they will float to the surface, and we have to be very honest. And we have to be prayerful that I'm going to do something this lifetime, that I really am going to clean that up. And if you have good friends, a good friend will help you say, why aren't you doing this for Krishna? Why? So we can find out what we're not doing by maybe being honest and having honest friends, encouraging friends that will help push us forward. We need a push. I know I need a push. I need a big kick in the backside sometimes. So we keep trying. Keep endeavoring. And Krishna will reveal, and we just have to have our ears open. We have to listen to Krishna. Not just chant all the time, but listen while we're chanting. Listen to, maybe Krishna's telling us something.
One more. Thank you for this from Madhava Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class and the wonderful reference to our gamble, the chance we take coming from the spiritual world, and how the spiritual master is our transcendental financial advisor, and how we should not withhold any secret resource from him. There is, it's another question, I think. Oh, mother says, nice answer, thank you. This is from Stitara Lata Sampa. When we are working in the material world, how can we be in Krishna consciousness every minute when we have to focus on the project? Is it sufficient to think in the beginning and end of work?
Beginning and end, Prabhupada was absorbed the whole time. He, before his project, after, you know, all during his project, he was completely absorbed. So it's not different to Krishna. It says here that everything is in association with transcendental service is accumulating. So all the it's all positive. Everything in Krishna consciousness mind is positive. So if we just keep busy in Krishna service, there's no difference between doing it and thinking about it. It's described here, so that's how we just always have to have something in mind how I can serve my spiritual master. If we're always thinking that way, what can I do to please my spiritual master, then this lifetime will be completely filled up and our bank account will be overflowing. And we get interest, special interest, if we get other people to open accounts. Just like sometimes you get things in the mail from different businesses. If you bring someone else to my business, you get a benefit. You know, so in the same way, if we get someone to open a bank account, come here, or just can you just sweep this floor for a minute, or can you do this? Then their account is open, and we get a little extra interest. So that's nice.
I have a question, comment, something. Without contemplation, how reflection will ever take place? And without reflection, how we can expect assimilation will ever take place? And Bhagavatam 7.1.30-32, no, actually start from 26. It says that unless somebody is absorbed on Krishna, he cannot get complete entrance in Golok. Of course, the relationship, it's coming with that. But absorption, so my question is that during the service, okay, if I'm just cleaning but I'm not little aware of whose pleasure I'm doing it for, isn't like we say consciousness behind the action is more important? Prabhupada says the man is going to factory and devotee is going to factory are not same because consciousness is different. So isn't like we have to be thoughtful also, like whose pleasure I am doing this for?
That's what the maturity is. The fully matured devotee will be totally conscious that I'm doing this for Krishna. Not that I'm on automatic and I just do it just to do it. No, I do it to please Krishna. So this is what it means to be fully Krishna conscious, matured devotee. And we have to really rely on Srila Prabhupada to give us that ability to become absorbed. He was expert at it. So he has given us a program. That's why we made the whole Krishna conscious society, is that he molded it so that we can be absorbed 24 hours a day. So we have to take advantage of that. If we think we can do it without the program entirely, there's a bit of illusion there. He's the advisor. He gave the advice. If you want to be successful, follow the advice. Get up early, chant your rounds, a certain amount of rounds, increase your rounds, read, associate. I mean, it's real clear how we can be absorbed all the time. And then that consciousness will become more and more with Prabhupada's grace.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.